order the Madison Plains Board of Education regular meeting Tuesday, July 21st. Tuesday, July 21st. If you'll call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Dodds?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Here.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
Mr. Detweiler?
Aye.
Mr. Detweiler, will you lead us in the pledge?
Sure.
Please. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We don't have anyone signed in for public communication. We will. So, Mr. Swanger, we did leave you off the agenda, but would now be okay?
Now we'd be fine.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Ready.
Okay.
Don't have a whole lot, but I am going to cover some things that are relatively important at this time of year. Three big things. Number one, we do have, first time in 40 years, a new treasurer. Pam decided that somebody told her that when it was time, she would know. And she said a couple months ago, she knew. So after 40 years as treasurer at Tolls, Pam's going to retire. It was kind of a tearful meeting the other night. But we've hired Tammy Woods. She's from Johnstown, Monroe, most recently. About 11 years experience there, and I'm not sure where she was before. But we interviewed several people, and she was definitely on top. So we told her that 40 years is what's expected. Personally, I don't think she'll make it that long, but that's okay. Project search is over for this year. We graduated 8 students. We lost 2 of them along the way. One of them was a Madison Plains student whose parents moved the first day of class. And once you get that far along, there's no way to plug somebody else in. But we did graduate 8. 6 of those kids are already hired. So it's obviously a good program, and I didn't bring the picture. I paid for one last year. This year is not quite the same. It's only about a $6 million picture instead of an $8 million picture. But what those kids will make over a lifetime more than pays for the, I think that course runs us somewhere in the neighborhood of with everything involved, around $250,000. But that includes not only tolls, but help we get from other outside people and other people that come in and other services provided. Now for the biggie, the evaluation, evaluation of our year-end goals. Our goals last year was to increase retention of students. And one thing that we started doing was tracking the kids that left and went back to associate schools. And essentially doing an exit interview with them to see why they were leaving. We wanted to know what we could do or what needs to be done in order to keep these kids once we got them signed up. Anyway, we decreased our loss by 26% over last year. So we kept, compared to previous years, we kept an additional 25% of them this past year. Overall retention for 2015, from registration to the end of the year was 93%, so we're not doing too bad, but we want to keep them there once they start. Next goal was to increase technical skill attainment. We're still working on the bulk of those results. But so far, there's been a whole increase of 1%. We don't have really any more national assessments than we had last year. We're working on those, and as other industry people make up assessments for the particular jobs that we train for, we will incorporate those into our assessment program because we try to make sure that every kid has a national certificate when they graduate. Again, we wanted to increase the technical skill attainment, and we don't know exactly where we are. Prepare more students for post-secondary education. Right now, the only difference between Madison Plains and Tolls is we teach career tech and Madison Plains doesn't. We are as much involved in getting kids prepared for post-secondary education as what Madison Plains and any other local school is in the state of Ohio. And part of the reason for that is we've got more kids that need the technical training. We know right now that 30% of all jobs require a college education. And what we're seeing in out in industry is if you need a college education in order to get a job, then you've got to go to college and get a degree. If the job doesn't require a college degree, industry is bypassing those people and going for people with technical degrees or technical knowledge. And unfortunately, those jobs right now are 50% of the industry. One out of every two jobs requires technical skills, and that's beyond high school. By 2020, that number will reach 60%. So what we will have is 30% college, 60% technical skills of some kind, and 10% will be competing for all of the sub, jobs that don't pay, jobs actually below poverty level. And the reason for that is industry, first of all, is not on the low end, not hiring full-time people. If you look at some of the biggest industries in Columbus that hire a lot of people, $12 is about the highest wage that they pay, and very few of those jobs are full-time. Most of them are part-time, 30 hours or less. The reason for that is if you pay, or if you only hire somebody for 30 hours, you don't have to pay benefits. And that's what industry is doing. And what worries me, if we don't get more of these kids, especially the ones that aren't going to go to college, to get some technical training, whether it's here or whether it's at Tolls, there's going to be an awful lot of kids out there working for sub-poverty wages. And I don't think any of us want to see that.
Don, I want to correct you on one thing. That's not true about 30 hours. Anybody who goes through an ADECO or a temporary service, you can work them 40-plus hours and not have to pay them benefits. That's the sad part of that.
They have to work how many?
They can work 40-plus hours. And if they're working through, say, if ADECO or Workforce One, or if they're employed through them,
one of the employment
through that company,
agencies.
That company does not have to pay any benefits. That's another reason why they're hiring so many.
So that's why they're hiring temps.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But those people can work.
But
in other
work
words,
more than 40 hours on
it's
that.
Up to the temp to pay them, and the temp doesn't have to.
On the benefits? No, they don't have
they
to.
They don't have to. Okay, thank you, David. Okay. Next thing, in order to prepare more students for post-secondary, we've had one of the reasons the kids gave for leaving is there's no high-level courses at Tolls. We now have honors courses lined up with Madison Plains and the other schools in our VEPD or vocational district, so that these courses are all pretty much the same. Whether you take calculus at Madison Plains, Tolls, Jonathan Alder, West Jeff, or whatever, it's pretty much the same course. So that no matter where the kid goes, the kid gets the same education. Anyway, we've got algebra 2, calculus, chemistry, material science, government economics, English 11 and 12, and all of those will be launched this fall. We also wanted to increase our post-program placement. That data won't be available till fall, and reason for that is the teachers over the summer are contacting this last graduating class to see what they're doing. By September, we will have a 98% at least return on what those kids are doing. We want to know what happens to these kids after. I know that Madison Plains has a follow-up program, but I know it doesn't come anywhere near 98%. There's a way to do it. The way that it's done at Tolles is the graduating class is divided up among the teachers, and everybody has a short list of kids that they got to keep track of. And if you divide that, for example, if you took Madison Plains with 100 kids, how many high school teachers we got?
We got
400 kids, yeah, but there's only 100 graduating class.
Right.
And how many teachers do we have?
At the high school, though?
Yeah.
You got 25 to 1.
25?
Yeah.
So every teacher would have 4 kids. And it takes a little time if you're trying to follow these kids after they've graduated. It's not easy. I know somebody lost the list of our honorary chapter farmers when I was teaching ag, and it took me several weeks to run those people down. So it's not an easy thing to do, but it is a possibility, and it's not a bad idea to know what your kids are doing. I know we advertise that 75% of our kids go into college, but I know the last report that I saw, which was only about 30% return, we only had 30% graduating. At least 45% of what we say are going to college that aren't getting a degree. So I think it's something that ought to be checked on. To prepare students for entering the world of work, and we did sign up with the Madison County Workforce Readiness Program. If you've looked over that thing, it's a bear. There's a ton of things that they have to do. We had a grand total out of, 200 graduates. We had 4 people that actually went through the program and received a certification. In order to sell the program, we gave them each an Apple iPad. And I think next year's class is counting on that. Personally, I'd like to see a whole bunch of them, but I don't know how we'd pay for it. Okay. To make Tolles more visible, relevant, and appealing to all stakeholders, and that means business, industry, parents, kids, and so on down the line, we've done several things. We've revamped all of the advisory committees so that our courses are relevant to what these kids need to be hired in the industry. We put in the RamTech program, and there will be an adult and a high school class with RamTech, also logistics. We've changed the curriculum on turf and landscape management. You may have heard a rumor going around that we dropped that program, and we did not drop the program. All we're doing is changing it, and we're putting in some of the environmental programs like wind energy and solar energy and so on. So that'll be part of that program, as well as just turf and landscape management and architectural design. We also revamped the website. Mostly it's just a lot easier to navigate and easier to find information on. And finally, to increase enrollment, the recruitment program was changed. That's pretty much the information that I gave you, the number of kids available and so on, number of jobs available. To reach kids earlier in school, and that's part of the recruitment program, but the number of junior high courses has increased to 6. And we also have a 9-10 program at Jonathan Alder, or Jonathan Alder, the one at the other end of the county, West Jeff. So West Jeff has career tech education 7 through 12 to prepare students for the culture of accountability. And this is pretty much to make sure that everybody in our school district and everybody that's working to educate the kids is on the same page. But the teacher evaluation system, principal evaluation system, and superintendent evaluation system are all on the same page, and everybody is assessed for the same items. Everybody's got the same major goals, or those goals fit into. Finally, to keep our policies current, DOL updates our policies twice a year, but any time that we need an additional policy, for whatever reason that happens to be, Neola will draw it up for us. And that's all I have. If you have any questions.
Great. Anybody have any questions? Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. Okay. We will move to board work session. So, do they have any items? Okay. We'll move on to section D, approval board minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the June 16th, 2015 and June 29th, 2015 meetings be approved as written.
Second. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay. Mr. Mustine, we'll move over to your section. Treasurer's report.
Mrs. Cooley. I have a few more items than usual, or a couple. I'll try to keep them fairly brief. The first one I have is kind of unusual. I have an amended appropriations amendment for last year's appropriations. And what it was on June 30th, in reviewing the appropriations and the grants, I realized that when we revised the final appropriations, the amounts weren't negative in the grants because we pay those over the summer. But we hadn't appropriated the full amount of the grants by June 30th, which we're required to do. So we had to appropriate those amounts by June 30th so that they can be expended by September 30th. So it's somewhat unusual, but I'd rather err on the side of caution and go ahead and amend those appropriations and make sure that we don't lose that grant funding. So that's what it was. It wasn't for any other reason than that. So that's the amended appropriations that we have there. The other thing I'd like to point out and look at is we have what I'll call our final spending plan update for fiscal year 15. And it shows here that we ended up $229,000 better than what we thought we were going to end up, and that was what we thought in October. You know, so that was our projections in October for the year. So that's a good thing to see. Again, you know, what drove most of that were the real estate valuations that came in higher than what we thought that they were going to come in. But it's always good to end a little better than what you thought you were going to. So, the other thing that I have here is an update on the athletic fund balance. As you recall, and if you look on the financial summary, actually, I want to say it looks worse, but it looks worse on the financial summary because we had some more amounts come in after the end of the year for the athletic fund balance. You knew from a previous report that we were running in the red in the athletic fund. And this shows here, these are the two big amounts that we're looking at, are the high school and the junior high athletics account. And on the June 30 report, if you take the negative 29,000, positive 15,000, you end up in the red about 14,000. In actuality, our current balance right now in the athletic fund account is a negative $7,923. And just today, actually, you know, right before 4 o'clock, we got in donations that get us back to zero in the athletic fund. So we are back to a good starting point, or at least a zero starting point for the athletic fund balance. Ideally, we'd like to start off the year, you know, with more funds than that, but We are going to closely monitor the athletic account this year, and we are in a new league and going into a new league, and so you know we have some high expectations, I guess, and to see what we can do with the athletic fund to improve the fund balance going into next year. So hopefully next year we're not going in with a zero fund balance, we're going in with more of a positive fund balance. But I just wanted to update you with that we are no longer in the red with the athletic fund account. We are back to zero.
When does the new league start? It's not this coming year, it's the next year, right? 16?
No, right.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, you said. Just out of curiosity, how do we get out of the red a couple hours ago, you said?
Yeah, we had three donation checks come in today.
We made a few phone calls.
Nice.
We had some people that pledged to help us with whatever we needed to get back to the black.
The last thing that I have in my report is an update on the state budget. I can't move that up through a PowerPoint here. I gave a presentation a while back on the governor's proposed budget and how it affected Madison Plains, or impacted Madison Plains. And this is just kind of a follow-up to that. I'll find the right thing. Here we go. Zoom up. This looks somewhat familiar. It's the same format that I had before. And I only updated what needed updated. Basically, the budget went through the process where it went from the governor's proposed budget through the House and through the Senate, and then through committee, and then was placed on the governor's desk to be signed, and there were a couple vetoes that were made at that point also, that the governor vetoed a few items. And so now we're left with what is pretty much a final budget. There's still, I think, 90 days after that they can, if possible, you know, override some of those vetoes if they get enough votes. But this is pretty much it. The only thing that we don't know some of the details as far as how it affects each district. You have some projections, and that's what I'm going to work off here. The projections that I'm working off of were prepared by the Legislative Service Commission. So I just like to highlight some of the things that should be affecting Madison Plains. The targeted assistance, which is a portion of the amount we receive from the state, the agricultural supplement was made, just read it here, was made more robust by tying it to the base pupil funding amount rather than the base targeted assistance amount. So when it comes to agriculture, anything that can increase that amount for us, we're going to benefit more than most because we have so much agricultural land value. The new funding supplements that are exempt from the funding cap, there's a new graduation bonus based on the four-year average graduation rate that we could potentially benefit from. There's a third grade reading bonus based on the percentage of students who are proficient on the third grade reading assessments. Now these aren't things that necessarily we will get, they're just opportunities, I guess, for us, new opportunities, because these weren't there before. There's a revised transportation supplement based on pupil density that is exempt from the funding cap, but is included as part of the funding guarantee calculation. We cover more miles than most, as Sam can attest to. So any increase in transportation for us, again, is similar to agriculture. We're going to benefit more than most because we have a very low population density. So anything that addresses that and sends more money our way for having a lot of miles covered and very little population density is going to benefit us more than most. The base formula amount, this is the one that most people look at because it's the one right on the top line. It's the per student amount. The base formula amount is $5,900. In 2016 and $6,000 in 2017. That's up from $5,800 this year, and or $15 in the prior year. Special education amounts increase 2% each year. K-3 literacy aid base amounts increase 5% each year, and career tech category amounts increase 4% each year. In regards to the tangible personal property tax supplement, this year, we are in 16 this year. No district receives less revenue in FY16 than it did in FY15. So there is a guarantee there. But in 17, the tangible personal property tax supplement was eliminated by veto for FY17. Initially, it made it through the Senate that wasn't going to be taken away at all, and the governor vetoed it 17. Because he's pretty much adamant that if we're going to have a phase out, we're going to have a phase out. So he's basically forcing their hand to phase that out. So we received $453,824 in FY15 for the tangible personal property tax. Now it will be phased out. It won't get yanked all at once.
How often? I mean, like over 3 years, 5 years? When you say phased?
It won't be reduced by any more than 2% of your total available resources. So that's another one of those calculations that, you know, the state hasn't exactly handed to us yet.
Okay.
It's a formula on top of the formula.
Exactly.
Super.
That's
okay.
How this is put together.
All right.
Some highlights, districts in general that could gain the most from the formula, the new formula, the revised budget. Those with high percentages of agricultural property, which would be us. Those with tax yield from 1 mil that is a statewide median yield per mil, that's not necessarily us. Higher wealth districts currently receiving very low per pupil amounts of total state aid, that's not really us.
I disagree with that. If you look at where they place us, and this is what I keep bringing up to everybody, how could they not say that they do not classify us as one of the higher wealth districts? Because they keep throwing that other formula out there about our
potential income tax
base. And if you look at where we're listed, we're in that upper bracket.
When it comes to the property values and the per pupil amounts per property value as far as wealth that goes, I guess I was looking at more of our median income, which the statewide median income is the $32,000, we're at the $35,000. Whereas opposed to like an Olentangy or somewhere where they're at $75,000. That's kind of what I was addressing more here.
There's about 50 lines on the funding formula, and each line has its own formula that's driving a different factor. And one of them might be based off of income, another one's based off property wealth. Yeah. So you're right in what you're saying, but so is Todd.
Right.
So it depends on which line you're looking at.
And the thing that I kind of struggle with when putting something like this together is that it is such an expansive formula, and the formulas within the formulas within the formulas. To do a true and proper presentation of the foundation settlement sheets and how that all equates to us would take us an hour and a half or more to go through it line by line and explain how each funding formula, how they come to that amount. And it would be a black and white sheet of paper with 8 font, and it would, you know. So to try and hit the highlights, and that's what I'm trying to do here, I guess, and for what we know now, because we don't have a complete picture yet. This is just kind of what we expect, I guess. So then the last one, then, the districts with low median valuation and high rates of graduation and third grade reading proficiency could benefit the most, because additional state aid tied to those three programs are not subject to the growth cap. So that's like that what we were talking about, the graduation rates, the four-year average, and the third grade reading guarantee. If we can meet those sort of goals, you know, the sky's the limit, because there's no cap on those amounts. So all that rolls up to this. This is where we were in that first presentation, you know, when we talked about losing the $600,000 over 2 years. Other districts were losing also, or gaining, but we were losing more than most, and that's where we were. This is where we are now with the current budget as it was signed by the governor, which is totally opposite, I'd say, as to where we were. You went from us losing $600,000 over 2 years to, we project that we're going to say only going to lose $26,000 over the course of those 2 years. The other districts flip-flop just about as bad.
Yeah.
And to try and explain that, there's a webinar tomorrow that I have to listen in on. That's a statewide explanation of some of these things, you know, that they're putting out. I don't have all the answers right now as to the whys. I just kind of know what the estimates are. These are the projections that they're putting out. I have some ideas, and that's what I tried to hit in the highlights leading up to this. but it's a little shocking to me, even sitting here, to see how those numbers changed from the initial proposed budget to where it was signed into law, as far as the districts in Madison County.
London's one that's got to be shocked.
That's just the comparison of the two. You know, you can see where we were and where we are now for all those districts. So I'll try to answer any questions anybody has, but like I said, it's still kind of in its infancy. It has been signed into law, but the details are forthcoming, I guess. So. Anybody have any questions? If not, that's all I have for my report.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move to Section F, Financial.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Treasurer, the June 2015 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Moorlach?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the Treasurer that the Board approve the amended appropriation resolution as presented.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Moorlach?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Carries 5-0.
Okay, so we'll move over to the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. First item is the annual food service compliance report. We're required to submit to ODE and to the federal government a report basically showing how we are in compliance. Board has to approve that. We've done that every year for the last 2 years. This is the third year. I'm assured in looking at all the controls that they have listed in the report that Mary put together, we are in compliance. So that should not be a problem. I have to prove it, you approve it, we send it in, and if it's not approved, you'll know at the next meeting, but I don't anticipate that. The FIT team update, I think I snapped a revised version of that last PowerPoint. The last meeting we went over the facilities improvement team and what the work that we're doing and the plan itself. And if you just go right on down to that third slide there, Todd, I'll give you an update real quick on where we're at with the projects. Had the deliverables, we'll go right past that. This is the detail behind the Excellence Drive Traffic Flow Project. And again, that's right out here between the intermediate building and the field house. You can see the rear lot. The excavation, $9,900, that is now complete. Demolition of the old shop barn, that's gone. Lighting, the pole bases are set now in the back rear lot here. The lights at the high school in the back have been replaced with the new lights already. The paving for the rear lot and sidewalk, that starts next week. Monday or Tuesday, they'll be in, and they're going to start at the high school, get that done, and they're going to come down here. That's all being done by Harsh Paving Company. The ceiling and striping, they're also doing that work. You see it coming in at 26.8. And the concrete barriers, that's just thrown in there. That's not necessarily what we're going to have out here as our barrier. We're looking at, I know we've talked about the different traffic flows, where the two lanes are out here closest to Linson. Having a barrier there where you pull in and the cars face each other, so you can't just flow in and out through the parking spots. You're gonna have to flow in and out of either the entrance exit on the far side or on this side. So you can't just flow through the parking spots any longer. We will be putting out the actual map of how this traffic will flow once everything's completed out here. It'll be on our website. We'll do a one call, notify the public that this is how traffic will flow. The buses will be here, parents will pick up here. So it'll be very clear to the public. So we are working with Steve Hammond and Paul. I was going last week with Todd, I was able to talk to one of their representatives. They're sending a traffic engineer out to kind of look over what we put together, see if it makes sense. They have the ability to use their software and kind of map it and make sure it's right. So if you remember, they are our architect of choice for the School Facilities Commission program that we were in, and actually we still are. They're still the one, if we ever go and put a bond issue on again and pass, that's who the architects will be. That's why they do this kind of work for us. So they will be out to verify that that's the best plan. Overall budget has fallen in about $157,000, but again, that includes not just paving. That's your lighting and things like that as well. So that's Excellence Drive. We are, you can stay right there, we are putting new concrete in front of the bus garage. Paving there doesn't make any sense because when you put buses up on jacks, as the guys can tell you, it just smashes right into the pavement. So we are having that concrete work done. Front of the high school, new concrete is going to go in at the front of the high school because of the swelling problem we have up there with the doors closing, opening, closing. It's not working well. We're also having the concrete work where we have our student drop-off now at the intermediate building. That's going to be redone. So several places will be improved pretty dramatically with concrete work. And still the same folks working on it. We can go on to the next. Classroom furniture. We can flip on to the next one there, Todd. We're doing the same thing, four classrooms throughout the district. Libraries we're also including this year. That's not going to happen immediately. We're going to work between now and we estimated October with Heidi, our librarian, along with our furniture vendor, which is Zimmerman, to kind of outline what we want to have. And we'll be working with department heads and teachers as well to kind of get ideas about how we want those libraries to be. We've heard everything from collaboration centers to media centers to libraries. So it can change pretty dramatically. So we do have money set aside for that. Go ahead, Todd. Again, August 31st is going to be very aggressive for classroom furniture. We don't have the same goal being having everything in place by the time school starts this year. That's not going to happen. This is an ongoing program. We do have the rooms ready for new furniture. The guys have come in and painted and done the floors and got everything looking just like we did this past year, but the furniture will be here when they get it here. Steel is pushing orders back. And I don't know what that means, but that's what we're being told by our furniture vendor. So, pricing, we did come in under the $70,000 for the classroom furniture, and we do still have the $30,000 set aside for library furniture. So we're working with that budget. Moving on, keep going. I'll just get right to the HVAC program. We end up going with Wellers, who did the work before on the intermediate building. We had Advance also quote us. They were quite a bit higher on their labor, and that's what we were looking at. The equipment basically came in at the same price for both vendors because they were going with the same supplier. Labor is around $30,000. We had originally said around 20, and I said it could be 20 to 40. It's about $30,000. So overall, $114,790, but that number includes a lot more. If you recall, I said I was trying to get them down to $100,000. Well, this includes, for example, we're putting the units up on the roof at the intermediate. And we have the roofer that's doing all the other roof project coming out and making the place and the pad for them to put those units on. So it's not the HVAC guys working on the roof, it's the roofer. And they're subcontracting him to come do that work. That's part of that price. So We're making sure that we have the experts in the fields doing the work so later on we don't have a problem come out of it. So we got them down to 114. I thought that was pretty good to have an all-inclusive price. It's not, they're not going to come back and say, we need this now. It's all-inclusive. And it is on target. I will say on the HVAC, they are doing work right now. They're trying to get all of the drilling and cutting and all those things done before school starts and pulling out of the old units before school starts. Then once school starts, they can do the work outside the building to get everything hooked up. So we're looking at, they estimated by the second, possibly the third week of school being in session, that's when the gym will be air conditioned. So, and then the cafeteria. It's funny to look at that picture now because if you had the chance to go over there, it looks quite a bit different. That wall is gone at the end. And the pattern on the floor tile has been extended all the way down. So it really looks, it's very fluid. And the windows at the far end that were in the lounge are now gone, and there'll be two double doors that go out to the courtyard. So we've got the concrete pad laid. Next up is to see if we can get some outdoor, rubber-coated furniture that can be out there so the kids can go out and play and things like that.
Drop ceiling.
That's right. The drop ceiling is in. The lighting is in. Tomorrow they come back to put the drop ceiling tiles and the baffling and the ceiling. So that's our first step to see if that deadens the sound in there. If it doesn't, then we'll look at putting baffling along the walls. So that's quite a shocking change over there. That's all done. And again, the pricing stayed the same. So, and if we go on to the next, there's your summary, what the total costs are for all those. Again, it's close to what we said at our last meeting. We're staying pretty much right on target. We're trying to hold everybody accountable for their timelines, and we will get the jobs done. The fit jobs, go ahead. We consider these just jobs. If we're only using one contractor, we're doing it in-house. Roof evaluation has been completed. We are waiting on his report. We assume he's probably going to come out with the report when he comes up to do the work on this roof over here with the contractor. The concrete repairs, those are getting ready to start. The band observation platform, again, that we've already contracted with them. They're starting the work. They're having to fabricate the stairs because the entire platform is galvanized steel. And they had the platform, they just didn't have the stairs. And we said we have to have stairs. And so they're putting that together. The replacement windows, that will be ongoing once school starts. That's a project that we can do once school begins, with most of it being done and then immediately these offices over here. The sewage plant upgrade, they were working on that this week. That's putting the weirs into the cesspool, basically, the stirrers. We're putting new stirrers in. The bus van purchase, the bus that's to be bought for this year has been ordered through Larry Fisher. There you go. The guys looked at the order and made sure it looked good, and we sent that on to them. We're going to get a demo because we'll get it a lot faster. So when we go to Capital Conference, the bus that you always see up there, that's ours. They'll have it on display up there, and then as soon as it's done, they'll bring it down here. I think we're going to get this year's order at the same time we're going to get last year's order. Because, is it Thomas who builds them? They were backed up big time because somebody screwed up on all their deliveries of the bus parts for all the buses this year. And this has come from Larry Fisher. I don't know anything about it other than I yelled at him for being late. So,
I think we just say handicap.
Is it? Is that what threw him off? Okay. And then the van purchase, we still need to get a van ordered. Sam actually reminded me of that the other day. We need to get that ordered because we still have the need. And we will do that. We're looking at different options as far as what type of van we'll get. The exterior door replacement, that will begin this next week as well. We got 7 doors that we're replacing, and those are not cheap doors because, again, some of those doors have been out here since they built the field house in the high school. So they last a long time. That's why they're expensive. The painting of the elementary, that's more like $7,300. We've got 2 guys that quoted it to us. It's painting the entire elementary, or this building. If you notice, the front is faded. They told us that when they first put it in, they said, you want us to put another coat on? And we didn't do it at that time. So we are going to have them repaint it and actually have all the trim match. If you ever walk around this building, the trim does not match all the way around. So that will be taken care of. Joe's wireless improvements, the federal government did approve. You recall he was talking about the approvals coming. They did approve it. However, there's a delay getting some of the equipment because now everybody's trying to get theirs done at the same time. That, I think people are going to notice that more than anything else as far as the teachers and the administrators in the buildings. You won't have the slow drag if you're on the wireless now. The bandwidth is going to be improved so dramatically in the coverage. So that's going to be a big improvement. We're going to add a couple of campus cameras at the high school so we can see that back parking lot, the students coming and going. And then the flagpole. Right now, we're sitting on about $3,500, I believe it is. If we don't get to our $10,000, I'll be coming to the board saying, do we want to do a 40-60 split on it, just like we have some of the other projects. And if not, we'll just continue to do the fundraising until we get to $10,000. So, those are the fit jobs that are going on right now. There's a lot of small jobs going on. you won't know about from this kind of presentation, but you'll probably notice it as we get through the process. The biggest change will be the parking lot and this traffic out here, because once we get it completed and you see the new striping, I think you'll be pretty amazed. We met with the sheriff's office yesterday, had a good long conversation on ideas on how we can direct traffic. They obviously cannot recommend that we put anybody on Linson to direct traffic. What they recommend, if you want to do that, you have somebody standing on your parking lot by Linson with a stop sign that stops the traffic. We'll have more conversations about that. A lot of schools do that. It's a liability issue. Of course, we got liability issues all over the place out there in that parking lot right now. So you have to pick and choose which liability is the lesser of the evils. So my favorite was the representative from the sheriff's department said, well, we think you should put a new road from here down to the high school and then connect on the lens. And I said, that's fine. Do you have $1 million? And they didn't think that was very funny, but you know, that's what you're talking about. It's a good idea, but it's just not feasible right now. So that's where FIT is. I wanted to bring you up to speed on those projects. Any questions on any of the work that we've got going on? I will say our maintenance men and the custodians are working their tails off, to be quite honest. You would think with all the contracting we're doing that we'd be pushed to find work for them to do, but it's the work that we haven't been able to get to now. Little things, taking out ventilators in the classrooms and cutting the pipes off so we can get the boiler shut down. Those type of things, they take days and days of work, you know, and we couldn't get to that when we were doing other things like mowing grass and things like that. So they are very busy, and it's. I talked to Larry yesterday. He said, "I've never seen these guys work harder than they have this year." And I said, "That's what everybody wants to hear." So, the other piece, the track improvements. I want to make sure I touched on those. Champion is a Champion track. Met with him actually out on the track. Todd and I did kind of walked the entire track. There's a lot of things that need to be done. The number one thing is maintenance. He described a maintenance program that we've not followed through no fault of anybody's other than ours. What he said is your track is failing because you need to keep your asphalt around your track sealed. Think about it. If you got if you've got a rubber sealed track on top of asphalt, but the asphalt's cracking, it's going to fail. And that's what's happening out there. So we've got, Harsh is going to quote us on sealing all the asphalt around the track, okay? He's going to fill the cracks and seal it. When that happens, then you stop the damage of the asphalt, which stops the damage of the track. Now, the surface itself, they're going to come out and fix all the damaged spots. So you see the cracks and the bare spots, they're going to fix all of that for us. That, as I think I told you in an email, is going to cost it anywhere from $14,000 to $20,000. The next step is we have to get it re-striped, okay? Now, that sounds like a lot, but to truly do a recoating in the entire track is $55,000, okay? I asked, should we do that or can we do the repairs? So if you do the repairs now, you'll have 3 years of life. And at the end of that 3 years, you're gonna have to do recoating, which allows us to plan for that. So we're doing the repairs now so we can get back on the track and use that facility like we should. And in 3 years, we can do a recoding of it.
I think it was important, too, that the lifespan that he saw on the track was important because it was worth maintaining and improving and putting it on a maintenance program. It wasn't like we're trying to do this to a track that's only got another 5 to 10 years left in its lifespan. He said you should be able to get a lot more life out of this track if you maintain it properly. So
I think Dave was one of pointing out that they said how many years we should get out of that track, and you're exactly right. If you maintain it and you maintain the surface that it lays on.
Because he made a point of saying, you bought the nicer track. He's like, this is the nicer material. So it has a longer lifespan. We definitely have to maintain it to keep it usable like it should be.
So while we have Harsh out here doing his resealing and filling of cracks, we're going to have him do that around the stadium. So when you see the stadium, once it's done, the track will be, it's going to be 4 inches more narrow because they're going to cut 4 inches off the inside. And if you notice, the inside lane is not a lane. Your six lanes start about, what would you say, Matt, 2 feet over? Because we only have six lanes. We didn't have enough on the inside to do another full lane.
So they're going to cut 4 inches off of that because most of that inside track has come loose. Okay? And he said once it comes loose, it's normally because there's a crack under there. So if my guys come in and cut 4 inches and reseal it, then your asphalt guy comes in and reseals the asphalt, then you just save the edge of your track. And there's places out there where you can pick it up. It'll come up like a foot. So there's a lot of work we've got to do, but it's not as expensive as I thought it was going to be. So that's a good thing.
Timeline on that?
He is coming out this week, actually, to do the cutting. And then we have Allscapes is doing the edging. That's the other thing he talked to, is you have to edge all the asphalt all the way around so when they come to seal, it goes all the way down and seals it. So they're coming out this week. As far as the asphalt, the sealing, I'm not sure when that's going to happen because Harsh, like I said, is coming out Monday. He's quoting this week, doing that job for us. And if he's too expensive, we'll see if somebody else will do it cheaper. So then the rest of the work will be done through August. It will be ready by track season. That's the one thing he assured me of. This is their busiest time, too. So we were lucky to get them to come out and do this inspection, cutting, and then telling us what we need to do to fix it. So I feel pretty good about where the track will be by track season.
And that is it too late to schedule track meets, though? Because isn't that season already planned out for 15?
I'm going to look over there for that one.
Oh, it's not? Okay. It's not too late? Oh, okay.
We already have one
scheduled.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Okay. The other piece I had for the board is the review of the administrator and exempt staff base increase. Again, we are done with the teachers. We meet again with the classified employees on Monday. It's time I need to make the recommendation for the administration and the exempt staff. And I'm just going to follow with what the teachers negotiated, which was 1%, 2%, 2%. Over the next 3 years. They will also be getting, their benefits will be modified to the same level as the teachers, which is the health reimbursement account. Goes from a liability coverage from 95% currently to 90% next year, then 80, then 80. So that's the recommendation you will have in front of you here in just a moment. And anything else? Questions on that? And again, when I say administrators, that does not include Todd and myself.
We looked at it, Tim.
Just making sure. And that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you very much. We will move on to unfinished business.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board rescind board action 15-068, which changed the board compensation to an annual payment of $1,500 per board member.
Second. Discussion? We're just restating this in the correct format. It's the same dollar amount.
Right.
Okay. Okay, call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Dotts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board of four. Board approved board member compensation at $125 per meeting, not to exceed compensation of 12 meetings per year.
Second.
Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Dotts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to new business.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ the following on a one-year contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015 to 2016 school year. Looks like all new teachers.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Yeah, it's been a very busy June and July. We actually almost had one more to add to this list. They're still on the bubble whether they're going to come with us or another school. The other one there, John Kern, if you see the step is not defined yet, I have to get with him and discuss that because there's some question on his service time and things like that.
I was going to ask about him.
Yeah, it'll either be 10 or 15 will be his step.
Okay. Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dotts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the following summer school teachers beginning June 22nd, 2015 through July 31st, 2015. It's David Emmons, Lynn Robbins, Kevin Stockham, and Stormy Hiram.
I'll second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve a contract between Madison Plains Local Schools and Jonathan Alder Local Schools for tutoring services effective June 15th, 2015 as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
Yeah. Is that the total amount, $528.76? Mm-hmm. Do we actually have to, are we getting paid for that?
We're getting.
Yes.
Yeah, why couldn't we just donate that and just do it instead of anybody passing the money?
You can't do that.
You said.
Well, basically, the law is basically we're providing a service they have to pay us.
And we can turn right around and give that money back to them as a donation.
Good.
We're not going
to do that.
I think it'd be a good gesture if we did that.
Did you see all the extra money they're getting? Because we're not getting extra money.
I will say that they did come to us, and we are kind of doing them a favor by running it through our payroll system to pay this person and hiring this person and just billing them later for the amount that we pay. So this was the best solution for them for this.
So there is administrative work.
And Kelly, I think most of that stuff is projected, so I'm not really taking that to heart just yet because that's what Todd told us to do.
A lot more. Yeah. That gap's a lot different than ours. Okay. Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board employ Elizabeth Daniels as tutor beginning June 15th, 2015 for 16 days at a rate of $22 an hour. Not to exceed 21 hours.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Amy Rosendahl, math teacher, effective July 1st, 2015. Ms. Rosendahl served Madison Plains for 2 years.
Second. Discussion?
Amy took another position with another district.
Okay. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Kim Elliott, guidance counselor, effective July 7th, 2015. Ms. Elliott served Madison Plains for 3 years.
Second. Discussion?
Kim also, she took a position down in Georgia, closer to where I believe it's her father's is ill. So.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Nathan Warner, math teacher, effective June 23rd, 2015. Mr. Warner served Madison Plains for 3 years.
I'll second.
Discussion?
And, of course, Nathan took the position over at Northeastern as the coach and teacher, so.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Mary Sims, fourth grade ELA social studies teacher. Is that correct? Effective July 16, 2015. Mrs. Sims served Madison Plains for 8 years.
Second. Discussion?
Distinct for social studies.
Yeah. Mary also, she took a position actually with the school right across the street from where she lives. That was a tough job for not to take.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board accept with regret the resignation of Brianna Richardson, high school chemistry teacher, effective July 14th, 2015. Mrs. Richardson served Madison Plains for 7 years.
I'll second.
Discussion.
Brianna took a position at Washington Courthouse.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board award Beth Jones a 10 extended day contract for guidance counselor services to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year. Excuse me.
Second.
That's a little messy.
Discussion.
Beth is going to be our counselor down at this end of campus, and those are the 10 extended days that go with the counselor position.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board award academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2015-2016 school year. That's for Kyle Fox as a band percussion section leader.
Second.
Discussion.
Yeah, what is that?
Formerly, with the old contract, he was called the assistant director. And the two band directors, Renee and were called directors. Under the new supplemental schedule, you have band director, assistant director, and then this position. Okay. So Kyle is taking basically the same position, but is titled differently. That helps.
I was wondering about that.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board approve a service agreement between the Madison-Champaign Educational Service Center Governing Board and Madison Plains Local School District Board of Education as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
The main service we get from them is the truancy officer. It's not like we have a long list of services.
Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the Superintendent, the Board approve the sports medicine agreement as presented.
Second. Discussion.
This is just the annual agreement that we have for training services.
So this is the final agreement. All the bugs have been worked out and everything else. That
I'm hoping. They have not had any extra meetings or anything, and they actually called you, didn't they, Matt, saying, do you have this on tonight?
Yeah. This is midway through the year last year. If you remember, we switched to Children's Hospital. This will be our first full year with children.
Okay, call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Superintendent, the Board authorize travel of the varsity softball team to Orlando, Florida to expose our young student athletes to playing top teams from all over the country in an environment that is safe, warm, dry, and fun. That's nice. All travel expenses will be paid through fundraising, donations, and student payments. The trip will take place March 23rd through the 28th of 2015. There are no financial obligations to the Board.
Second.
Discussion.
We also made sure that Mr. Stockham, that none of the girls had conflicts with other activities at that time frame. He assured us they did not. So.
We're a little late on this, right?
This is next year.
It's next year.
That's 2015.
Yeah, it should be 2016.
Oh, okay.
It should be 16. Right.
Yeah.
You that are really early.
Right.
We're very early.
We'll amend that to 16. Okay.
That's during spring break, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve base pay increases for all administrative and exempt employees as follows. 2015-2016 is 1%, 2016-17 is 2%, and 2017-18 is 2%.
I will second.
Discussion.
Yeah, when I looked at this, Tim, the increases made sense, but you were saying that on the health care would be 90-80-80. I didn't see that written up anywhere. So.
Right, it's not on here. It's okay. Just part of the benefit package that we're okay. Modifying. The board has to approve the base increases is the main reason, but I wanted to verbally tell you that they'd be getting the same benefit package as everybody else.
Okay.
So, is it, you understand what the 90-80-80 is? Because there is confusion yeah, sure. around that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
The K-6 and K-12 principal bases were changed from the last time. That
correct.
I think we saw a proposed schedule.
Right, because we didn't know if we were going to have a base increase at all. So I put them in at zero, building them that way. And now we do have a base increase. I built them as if...
Because they were contract negotiations, right?
Correct. Because I didn't know if we were going to be 0, 1, 2, 3, what we were going to be at.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Call roll, please.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the following donations. Well, the big one there, $21,371 by Mr. Hansen to the athletics, and various other ones, a bunch for Raise the Flag, including one from Mr. Detweiler, and there was also one from former board member Mike Grant, and various other people.
I'll second that.
Discussion.
Like I said, we have many other pledges so far from our contractors. As soon as we collect those in, we'll be adding more to this pot. So.
We appreciate all those donations.
We will send something to Mr. Hansen. I'll probably get with Matt and talk about maybe getting the band or the football team or something like that to send him something nice, signed football, I don't know.
We already did something. The boosters, but we'll send something to the school as well.
Yeah, something needs to come from us.
Significant contribution. Call roll, please.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
New agenda items. There are no new agenda items, so we will move into executive session. I'll make a motion to enter into executive session at 8:08 p.m. for the purpose of one or more of the following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. We'll be taking no action.
I'd like to ask, we went for Section 4 too. I just have a question. Preparing for conducting or reviewing negotiations or bargaining sessions with public employees. Make sure we do everything right. I don't want to ask a question in there and not be correct.
So. Okay. Well, add Section 4 to that motion.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dodds?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We'll take a brief intermission. Recess for 5-10 minutes. Thank you. And no further action will be taken.